You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The clock is ticking on this Urban Meyer to Jacksonville story. We'll be all over it all show long as we welcome you to NFL Live. Also, one person here actually says the Ravens defense will be the toughest unit that Josh Allen has seen all year long. Find out why. Welcome to NFL Live. Keyshawn Johnson, Dan Orlovsky here, Marcus Spears, and Adam Schefter as well. And let's get to our top story of the day. As you see, Adam Schefter already working those thumbs. Urban Meyer actually seen on photo getting off a plane in Jacksonville just a few hours ago, as we have all eyes on the Jaguars waiting to find out if Meyer will be their next head coach. Let's go right to Adam Schefter. Adam, what's the latest here?
Laura, you see Urban Meyer landing in Jacksonville to meet with Jaguars owner Shad Khan today. They are in advanced talks to try to finalize a deal that the sense is will get done but hasn't gotten done to date. This would be a huge acquisition for Jacksonville. It would add to what they have for this offseason, which is the number one overall pick, 11 picks in the draft. The situation with $100 million over in cap space. They've got all this going on, which makes it a highly attractive job for Urban Meyer, who's meeting with the team today, just as he met with them yesterday and has met with them repeatedly during this process. Again, it is trending in the way of Urban Meyer accepting that job. As of this moment, he has not officially accepted nor agreed to become the Jaguars coach. But as soon as he does, we will have the latest for you here on NFL Live.
Yes, we will. That moment is one that we are looking out for. So Adam Schefter with us all show long. And let's get a little bit more about this job. You heard Schefty mention it. Not only Jacksonville set to make their first number one pick in franchise history, but their four picks through the first and second rounds of this draft are tied with Miami for the most in the league. They'll also have that cap space that you just heard Adam mention, $76 million. And maybe they can add to the defense that allowed the fifth most yards in NFL history, or pair Trevor Lawrence with a tight end. Either way, there are plenty of decisions to be made in Jacksonville down the line. And here was owner Shad Khan on January 4th on who may actually have control over this roster.
The general manager candidates, I've been talking to them that for the immediate future, I'm going to keep the roster control. And I want the coach to know that also. And it's not to really who's coming in, but it's to really have a rhythm that everybody's aligned on who might be leaving the team and who might be coming in, at least for the immediate future.
So all of the questions point back to quarterback, Dan. Who do you think Urban Meyer's starting quarterback is next season if he ends up being the head coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
It's Trevor Lawrence. But listen, this is like, is anyone else as excited about this as me? Like, I think this is going to be incredible in Jacksonville, and I hope this happens very quickly. It will be Trevor Lawrence. That being said, if you just do some digging on what Urban Meyer wants in a quarterback, the intangible stuff. He talks about competitiveness, the number one asset, toughness, leadership. Can you raise the ability of others? And then adaptability, okay? And then you talk about the tangible things. He wants a quick release, arm strength, and accuracy. Well, Trevor Lawrence has all of that. But he recruited Justin Fields to Ohio State. We just watched Justin Fields display a lot of those traits that Urban Meyer says these are mandatory for me to have at quarterback. Who to say like Ryan Day doesn't call him and say, listen, what I saw from Justin Fields this year when it comes to his competitiveness and his toughness and his leadership is unlike anything I've ever seen before. This kid's an absolute superstar. Like, just because we all have linked Trevor Lawrence there, now with Urban going there, does it become a conversation of who goes number one? Absolutely. Absolutely it does, because he could love Justin Fields more than he loves Trevor Lawrence.
I think it's everything is at play right now, right? You point to Trevor Lawrence, but much like you said, it's hard for me to think that a coach that was at a university that recruited the quarterback,
right,
has been knowing the guy for a long time, the kid for a long time, also put the head coach in play that's at Ohio State, that they're not having communications, and his eyes have seen throughout the course of 2 years what Fields is at quarterback. It's hard for me to think that he's going to pass on a guy like Fields for Trevor Lawrence, although Trevor Lawrence is everybody's number one pick.
So you think he takes Fields?
You know, it's one of those deals where I look at coaches in the past that have gone from college to the pros, whether it's in the first round or rounds in general. They like to have people that understand their program.
Sure.
Even though Fields didn't play for Urban, that program is still Urban because they took a lot of the same principles and installed them and kept them in Ohio State's program. So it'll be fun to watch and see come draft time. That's for dang sure.
I will say this. Clemson, the program that Trevor Lawrence comes from, is certainly a program built around winning championships, too. Even though you think about the talent of Justin Fields, Marcus, and what he's brought to the table even lately, it is hard to imagine for Fields even to be drafted ahead of Trevor Lawrence and have that on his shoulders. What do you think about all this?
What I think is we're not waiting to see a damn thing. Trevor Lawrence going first to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that's been the talk since last year. That's what's going to happen. We just watched the owner talk about how much he wants to be involved in the roster. Obviously, Urban Meyer and whatever staff he brings in and the general manager have decisions to make, but the first overall pick going to be Trevor Lawrence. I like the excitement that Key and Dan has. I like the fact that Urban Meyer has recruited Justin Fields out of college and, I mean, out of high school and all of that. But the bottom line is the quarterback from Clemson going number one. If he doesn't go number one, you still got to try to repair a city that's getting ready for Trevor Lawrence to come to their place if you don't draft him. So there's a lot of overlying issues outside of the fact. Look, we not trading talent for talent either. Like, Trevor Lawrence has been the guy. He hasn't done anything to knock himself off of that pedestal. Justin Fields obviously outplayed him when they played against Clemson. But Urban Meyer, when they send that card in, it'll be Trevor Lawrence's name on it.
So here's the thing. When it goes back, Dan, to the control of the roster, Urban Meyer may say all day long that he wants right. Justin Fields for whatever reason, but is he really going to have that type of control considering what we just heard Shad Khan say?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be a collaboration. I think it's different than understanding, like, roster control versus roster impact. You know, like, I think Shad Khan wants some impact on that roster. I want these type of players or these type of people in our organization rather than I want that linebacker, I want that quarterback. The really interesting thing, because Marcus makes a great point, we didn't hear these Urban Meyer rumors to Jacksonville until they got to the one spot. When they were sitting at the two pick for most of the season, there wasn't this conversation. So, again, I agree wholeheartedly. This will be Trevor Lawrence at the number one pick, and I think a reason why Urban's willing to take that job is because of it. We'll see how much roster control when it comes to recruiting he has down at Jacksonville.
He's going to have a lot. He's probably going to have all the control. He's not going to take a job. He's a control guy. Yeah. He doesn't want to take a job and have somebody tell him what to do. These coaches in this day and age that don't need jobs, they don't want to deal with that because he can go anywhere to do that. He wants control like he had at Florida, Utah, Ohio State, and it's different because you need somebody who understands the pro game in your pro scouting department.
Can I just throw this nugget out there? I think that's a massive mistake, though. To bring him no NFL experience and go, hey, we're going to give you roster control and be the head coach, that's a recipe for failure.
He's never even been an assistant at the NFL level. I would just make this other point, though. Maybe one of the reasons why those other college coaches who transitioned to the NFL didn't have success is they didn't have that roster control. Maybe being the guy that can kind of build your roster to fit what you want to do, maybe that does put him up in a better sense to succeed.
Listen, he's got an incredible – go ahead, Marcus. Go ahead, Marcus.
Yeah, I understand all that y'all talking about. The first part of that roster control going to be drafting Trevor Lawrence.
I know you want Trevor to get drafted number one overall. We got a long ways to go.
It doesn't matter what Marcus wants.
It ain't about me wanting him. It ain't about what I want. It's what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Marcus is putting it on the bottom line, just like Shefty does sometimes. All right, we're going to be all over this story all show long. Again, watching to see whether or not it gets announced today that Urban Meyer is joining the Jacksonville.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Jaguars, time to give some attention to some guys who aren't getting enough credit around the NFL. Dan, who should we stop sleeping on?
Yeah, the man they call CGJ, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Listen, in the NFL, you can't have one good corner, and you can't have two. You got to have three, somebody that can play on the inside. And they play a ton of man coverage down in New Orleans. He's a feisty player. He's exactly what they need, a nickel that can match up with the number three receiver, be physical, play the ball in the air, and be a dynamic blitzer. He will be impactful this weekend for New Orleans defense.
Yeah, we've been enamored with Aaron Rodgers' MVP season, but somebody that is as important to the success of this offense, Aaron Jones, the running back for Green Bay. It's not that he slept on as a good player, but I heard a lot of conversations about the Packers and the Rams matchup, and I haven't heard Aaron Jones' name a lot. Catching the ball out of the backfield in their biggest games, he's been one of the main contributors, if not the sole contributor.
Whatever you do, Marcus, don't fall asleep on Emmanuel Sanders. Michael Thomas is back in the lineup along with Alvin Kamara. So a lot of attention will be placed on them. The eyes will go to them. This is a big-time game coming up for Emmanuel Sanders. No matter who was at the quarterback position throughout the regular season, he showed up. Imagine having a big game when everybody's paying attention to the other guy.
Hey, not many except maybe Dan Orlovsky gave the Baker Mayfield Browns a chance against the Steelers in their wild card game. And, of course, their roster and even their coach majorly affected by COVID-19. Now, after a huge win, they advance to the divisional round. And, hey, guys, you get to play the Chiefs. That's your big prize. But Baker doesn't scare easily. Here's Mayfield's running back Nick Chubb on the QB's thought process heading into Sunday.
I mean, yeah, Baker, he always has that underdog mentality. And I'm sure, you know, that's in his mind right now. I mean, he wants to go out and prove himself even more.
I'm just saying he's scary when he's that way. Last weekend against the Steelers, Cleveland ran their most plays out of an empty set all season. Empty, of course, meaning that no other players are lined up in the backfield along with Baker. The Browns have nearly doubled their rate of empty set formation since week 13, where Mayfield has found a ton of success. In that span, he's thrown for the league's most yards and completions of at least 10 air yards, boasting a QBR of 89 on such plays. Man, that empty set, Dan, is really making a difference for the Browns.
Yeah, they do it for a bunch of different reasons, but it's really three to get Baker to operate at the most optimum level. The multiple ways that they are getting into empty and giving him information before the snap, and then he just goes about diagnosis. Okay, there's the zone beater, work it. There's the one high beater, work it. Oh, there's the matchup I want, my guy's going to win. They will use this a ton this weekend. I think it gives them a chance for more offensive success.
Marcus, that's maybe how the Browns get this done?
Yeah, that's okay. a part of it. Look, okay. Everybody that's talking about this game is going to talk about Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and rightfully so, trying to be dominant in this game. But look, over the past few weeks, we've watched, and Dan just showed, this is going to be about Baker as well. Like all of these big games, think back to the Baltimore game this season, looking at the Pittsburgh game. Baker at times in this game is going to have to go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes because I don't see this Cleveland Browns secondary taking a lot away from what the Kansas City Chiefs want to do through the air. So this is going to be about explosive offense, Baker being off script, scrambling for some first downs, doing all of the extra stuff that we've seen him over the past 2 months almost have the ability to do. If Cleveland is going to win this game, there's a lot of reasons why we could say, and obviously you talk about Stefanski, the run game, the physicality of the offensive line. In all of these games, Baker Mayfield has had to be special. Mm-hmm. Tennessee, Baltimore mm-hmm. Ravens, Pittsburgh Steelers the first time before the playoffs, Pittsburgh Steelers the second time. And that doesn't mean they need to deviate away from what they want to do offensively. But everybody sitting on this show, everybody in America that knows when this game kicks off, if Baker Mayfield is going to have a chance and the Cleveland Browns is going to have a chance, he's going to have to continue to play at that high level, pushing the ball down the field and scratching and scraping to pick up key third downs like he's done over the past couple of months. If he can do that, the Cleveland Browns will be in this game. Do not, I repeat, do not give this Kansas City Chiefs offense extra possessions. Do what you have to do, Baker, in order to keep your offense with the ball and drives going.
Well, Marcus, I'm one of those guys that's going to talk about the running game and Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. Kareem Hunt going back to Kansas City, the team that drafted him. So good that'll point. Be interesting right yeah. there. Yeah, look, they're going to run the football. This is what they do. I understand they get into empty sets. Empty sets, that's something that they add to the equation.
No doubt.
But overall, they're not going to try to get into a shoot. The biggest mistake that they can make is trying to get into a shootout with the Kansas City Chiefs, trying to stay in empty all over the lot, trying to throw the ball 50 times downfield. You're going to get into trouble doing that. Mm-hmm. Play your game. Run the ball. Allow Baker Mayfield methodically to hit guys in certain spots in certain times. Manage the game with a sharp feel. Don't try to all of a sudden, oh, we're going to get in the empty. We're going to just sprinkle it all over. This is not Oklahoma. No, you're not going to. No, not at all. They can run out the building, Dan, because the moment you go three and out, five and out, six and out, and Kansas City gets the ball back, too many possessions.
I think the biggest mistake is them thinking that they don't need to get in a shootout. Their defense is not going to stop Kansas City's offense. So you better think you got to hang 40 on Kansas City defensively to win this game. They're going to have to run the football, no doubt, but they will have to utilize the pass game to create explosive plays.
I buy both of those strategies, which makes this even crazier because you never know what's going
to
happen.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Actually work against the Chiefs. Let's get back to our developing story of the day. You see Urban Meyer arriving in Jacksonville. These photos show him getting off the plane there in Jacksonville. Very close to a deal with the Jaguars. Adam Schefter, what do we know?
There is no deal in place yet, Laura. There is no press conference scheduled yet. But both sides are in advanced talks here to try to see if they could get this deal finalized and make Urban Meyer the next head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. At this point in time, again, it is tracking that way. And I think both sides are hopeful and optimistic it will get done. It is not yet done. Urban Meyer landed today in Jacksonville to meet yet again with the Jaguars owner, Shad Khan. He met with them yesterday as well. He met with them Sunday or Saturday on the boat in Florida. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of interaction, a lot of meetings, a lot of planning. And right now it's just a question of whether these two sides can get this worked out on the same page and move ahead into the future.
Boats, planes, automobiles, they're doing it all to get Urban Meyer there in Jacksonville.
A lot of money.
Of course, we will keep our eye on that. But what else is going on in the coaching search world, Adam?
Well, we're waiting to see who the general manager for Urban Meyer would be in Jacksonville if and when he does get that job. And a couple of names that have come up in connection to that job, Trent Baalke, the former 49ers GM, Ray Farmer, the former Browns GM, they would be in consideration as the rest of the general manager hires. And that picture begins to come into focus right now. We have Brad Holmes, the former Rams executive, being hired in Detroit as the Lions' new general manager. They've made a move with him. They've secured his services. He was somebody that they identified and moved forward with going forward. Carolina is down to its final four candidates. It looks like Scott Fitterer has emerged as the favorite to get that job. They have not yet worked out a contract. They're hoping to still do that. In Atlanta, Terry Fontenot is the favorite to get that job. It looks like he's on track to become the next general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, though the Falcons can't offer him the job, being that his team is still involved in the playoffs. The Saints would have to sign off on that, which they haven't done to date. But Terry Fontenot is in line to become the Falcons general manager when these two sides can formalize that going forward. And, of course, Washington is still out there. They've spoken to Martin Mayhew. They've spoken to Marty Herney. We'll see what direction the Washington football team decides to go, Laura.
All right, Adam with us for the rest of the show. Keep it locked right here for the latest news. And back to the games for this weekend, a huge one for the Bucs. All right, Dan, you said this on Get Up earlier in the week. Explain yourself. Why is Antonio Brown the most important player in this matchup?
All right, so no one in the NFL, certainly left in the playoffs, plays more man coverage than the New Orleans Saints. No one does it better than New Orleans either. Now, if you look at Mike Evans, well, Marshawn Lattimore for a stretch of games now has really gotten the better of him. Look at these numbers. I want everyone to really zone in on these.
Wow.
Over the last three games, Mike Evans versus Marshawn is 72 routes when they line up against each other. They've thrown the ball six times to him. He has zero catches. I mean, that is a shutout. I mean, he's getting shut down, so I'm not going, all right, Mike, this is going to be your breakout game. Marshawn's having a great season. And then I look at Janoris Jenkins and Chris Godwin, and listen, that's probably a toss-up of who's going to win that matchup. Well, who's the best guy to win in man coverage? Key, you know this. There's two ways to really win in man coverage. You either whoop the guy across from you, or coaches with scheme, stacks and rubs and meshes and picks, they help you. Well, Tampa doesn't do that. And so AB is going to have to line up on a play-by-play basis against the best man coverage secondary in the NFL and win. There's no way Tampa wins this game if he doesn't. The last time AB was playing football, like consistent football 2 years ago, and he saw this secondary, he put 14 on their head for a 185 and two tutties. And I think for Tampa to win this game, he's going to have a similar type of performance. He's done it. And so I'm excited to see if that signing that took us by surprise 2-3 months ago pays off.
In order for AB to do what you saw him do in 2018, it starts with the quarterback.
Okay.
But the quarterback needs the offensive line to protect him so he can get the football to AB. Yeah, and so when you look at it, I know that's the easy one to point to. Yes, Tom Brady has to have a good game. That's true, though. AB can't get the ball himself. He can't throw it to himself. Only person I ever seen do that was Bugs Bunny. He's the only one I seen throw the ball
well
to himself.
Worked out well for him.
So, you know, that's it. And when you think about it, AB wants to show the world. He wants to shock the NFL and say that I'm back.
Yeah, Marcus, you know, when they signed AB, I remember even on this show, we were saying, they've already got all these offensive weapons. Maybe this is too much. Maybe they're adding too much more. What do you think is the key in this game?
I think they figured it out with AB. This offense is obviously totally different from the first couple of meetings with the New Orleans Saints. But I go back to where Key was, the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Tom Brady has thrown, in the two meetings between Tampa and New Orleans, Tom Brady has thrown five interceptions to two touchdowns total. All right, the last 38-3 loss, he threw three picks, zero touchdowns. Opposite side, Drew Brees threw four touchdowns, zero picks. We all know what this is about. This is about Tom Brady's rapport with his wide receivers, which has gotten better. It's about his offensive line protecting. We had questions about them against the Washington football team. They did a good job outside of DeRon Payne getting two sacks in that game. That was really the only pressure that they were able to generate. And we were going crazy about how bad that matchup was for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive line. The run game as well. Leonard Fournette has become more involved. Hopefully Ronald Jones can be more involved. When you look at the games and the way they were played, the first game, the score wasn't indicative of how close it was.
Right.
It was the turnovers that was the difference. The second game, it was turnovers, period. Three. They had three sacks. I think they had like 12 or 13 pressures in that game from the Saints defensive line. That's what it's going to boil down to. And we can have confidence in Tampa Bay because over the last month, they've shown us that they figured a lot of things out offensively. I just can't wait to watch it, y'all. It's going to come down to these 40-year-old quarterbacks and which one plays the best.
You just hit on it, and that's the point I want to make. When we talk about the game 6 or 7 weeks ago when they played week 9, they ran play-action pass with 7-man or 6-man protection one time in that game. It was the first play of the game. They do it 14 times a game over the last 6 weeks. So that's why I feel better about this offensive line playing against this really good D-line. They're going to have a 6th or 7th person in their protection. And that's why I will say I think they'll protect them. Those guys on the outside, AB better win. If AB doesn't win, they can't win this game.
Yeah, the Bucs doing what Tom Brady does well a little more. We're getting closer and closer to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Our eyes on some crucial players dealing with injuries. Back to that game we were just talking about. Adam, what's the latest with the Bucs receivers?
All right, Laura, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, both limited in practice this week. Mike Evans obviously still being cautious with that knee injury. Chris Godwin dealing with a hip and quad injury. And even though both have been limited, still think that both will be ready to play on Sunday night against the New Orleans Saints in a big divisional matchup. Brady looks like he'll have both receivers. As for Jared Goff and John Wolford out in L.A., Sean McVay ruled out John Wolford today, which means that Jared Goff will start. Blake Bortles is listed as the number 2 quarterback now and would back up Goff, but Wolford will not play. Goff will start. and that seems to solve the Rams quarterback situation for Saturday. Aaron Donald was back at practice today, and Sean McVay called him the Terminator this week. And he said the Terminator will be ready to get after Aaron Rodgers on Saturday. So he may not be full strength, but he's still Aaron Donald, and he's looking to terminate the Packers from this postseason. As for the Chiefs and their running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he returned to practice for the first time since suffering his high ankle sprain in week 15. He was limited, but Andy Reid said he was optimistic on his status for Sunday. We'll see whether Clyde Edwards-Helaire is able to go, and if so, how much he's able to contribute.
Yeah, if anyone's worthy of that Terminator name, it's probably Aaron Donald. Thanks so much for all that.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Adam Schefter, Rams-Packers begins divisional round play on Saturday. We now know Jared Goff will start. Aaron Donald will play. So, Marcus, the Rams win if what happens?
If Sir Jalen Ramsey can take Devontae Adams out of this game, he's been elite against number one wide receivers, but he's about to face the best one I think that he's going to face this season. I cannot wait to see this matchup. As far as an individual matchup, I'm more excited about this than any of the games.
Green Bay wins if?
If the Smith brothers, Smith and Smith Law Firm, can get to Jared Goff and make him uncomfortable. We all know what Jared Goff's Achilles heel is, especially with coming off the thumb issue. If Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith can create pressure, I didn't mention Clark in the middle of this defense, but he'll be important. But these defensive ends have shown us that they can take over games when teams get in the passing situation. They're going to have to be dominant.
The divisional playoffs are brought to you by Intuit TurboTax Live. And what a slate of games we have. You see that game we just talked about, Rams-Packers kicking things off at 4:35 Eastern, followed by the Ravens and Bills on Saturday. Then on Sunday, it's Browns-Chiefs, followed by Bucks-Saints. The three most important pass catchers this weekend, Dan and Key.
Listen, Key hit us last week with wild card weekend's three most important. We're going to lead into the divisional round. You told me the divisional round is like this difference maker, okay? So last week we had our three for the division. Don't we have new picks coming up? We just had the highlight videos. Do you remember where the highlights were from? What games?
I do not. My game?
The Moss one? The Moss highlight, maybe?
I balled out in a few games. But,
how about the first time you played in the divisional round? How'd that go?
Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay. We played them in 1998. Come on, Dan.
What were the numbers like?
I think I had like a buck 21 in the air.
Here it is. Here it is.
A touchdown.
Oh, look at the post body catch.
A reverse for a touchdown. And then I recovered a fumble. That was lightweight. I recovered a fumble. Vinny threw a pick. I recovered the fumble. Bombed him again right there at the one. And then at the end of the game, Mark Brunell threw me a six-pack. Interception.
So how many did you get? Three?
So I had one in the air, one on the ground, a fumble recovery, and an interception.
The divisional round champ.
So for these three guys that we get ready to talk about, this is their first divisional game.
Okay.
Number one is Hollywood Brown. You got to catch the damn ball and get open on Tre'Davious White. You have to do those things. We saw what you did last week against the Tennessee Titans. That needs to carry over into this week against the Buffalo Bills and Tre'Davious White.
I like the fact that you mentioned T. White, because if you watch these teams play last year, what Buffalo did was they kept their safeties down near the line of scrimmage, and they said, T. White, you got Hollywood. And he shut Hollywood down for the most part. If Baltimore is going to have their best chance to win this game, Hollywood's going to have two big plays down the field, right? Because that's going to take those safeties a little bit more, give them a little cushion at the line of scrimmage. So I agree. He's got to have a big, big game against Tre'Davious White.
Pitch and catch.
Right.
So this is his first divisional. Next up, would be Landry, Cleveland Browns, and Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
Now, Landry's got to catch the damn ball again and get open.
Not a problem for him.
You know, not a problem, but he's got to get open. He's got to run those choice routes, those angle routes. They're going to move him in motion. They're going to do so many different things to get him open. When the ball comes from Baker Mayfield, you got to deliver.
I love the fact that you talked about the different places they put him. I mean, he's a guy that really fits the mold of get him the football, motion him over, and you said get him in those stacks, and then he could win off the line of scrimmage. Sometimes it's the screen game. We've seen the reverse game. You know what I really want to see? Him versus the Honey Badger. I think they're going to match up a couple times this past weekend. Both the LSU grads, or this coming weekend, both LSU grads. Tough players that do all those little things. I agree. He's going to have a big game winning in the middle of the field for Cleveland
to win.
And
again, remember, this is the first opportunity in a divisional round for these guys. Third, you got a duo going right here. Tampa Bay, you talked about Mike Evans earlier on Lattimore. Now you think about Godwin in these situations on Jenkins. They've got to show up big. Mike Evans has got to play big.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity to set a mark as a legacy for yourself come playoff time. We want to remember how you played with Tom Brady in the playoffs, not the regular season.
Let me ask you a question. Mike Evans has not had success versus Lattimore. What would be the advice? Like, for him to feel like he actually can go do it, what would be the advice to him?
Just keep going.
Okay.
You got to keep hacking at it. You can't get discouraged because you had 72 routes and
no catches.
No catches.
And what
you
do you like?
Get discouraged.
What do you like about Godwin's matchup this week?
Well, I think Godwin can eat. He can eat. He's got to be able to just run fast out of the slot position. Make sure that when they put him in position to make those plays, you make them downfield. Because the one thing that Tom Brady's going to do is going to give him those opportunities.
Yeah.
The one thing that Brady knows is the playoffs, and we all know how big the playoffs are.
So big game. So we need a big game of Hollywood Brown, especially downfield. Jarvis got to play physical, and the two highly touted, highly paid, hopefully for Chris Godwin in the future, receivers in Tampa Bay got a ball.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, so it was actually the four most important pass catches. Ravens defensive coordinator Wink Martindale said about Josh Allen yesterday, quote, "He knows that there is going to be pressure, that's for sure. That's who we are," end quote. And it's a confident bunch planning to bring the heat to Josh Allen, but he's been among the best when facing the blitz this year. While teams have been able to turn those blitzes into pressures, Allen has thrown for a league-high 19 touchdowns with just two interceptions. So what do you do against him? Key, if you're the Ravens, what's the one thing you do have to do if you're going to try to stop this Bills offense?
Well, if I'm bringing that pressure, I'm going to make sure that I take, and I know it's one of those deals, I'm going to take Stephon Diggs away. I got to figure out Marcus Peters.
Good luck.
I understand. Whatever it is, if it's Marcus Peters and that safety peeking, if it's Humphrey and that safety peeking, if he somehow gets on Jimmy Smith and that safety peeking, I'm going to make Josh Allen pull the ball down, recock, buy some time, and they've got to stick to him like glue. That is how you get two teams with dominant receivers. If you just let him run wild all over the field, you're going to get in trouble. Everybody has a dominant receiver in the National Football League. And somebody has to take that dominant receiver away. And we've seen it done. Now, whether or not it can be done in Buffalo, remain to be seen.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to put you onto a great movie. It's called Taken. In my best Liam Neeson voice, good luck. I mean, you ain't stopping 14. Now, three things that Josh...
I'm not going past one.
Josh Allen's a great movie. Three things that Josh Allen has to do. First of all, we heard Wink Martindale talk about the pressure. They're not really what I call a PPP unit, a predictable pressure unit. No, I didn't say that right. Predictable pressure
there were three P's.
Pattern
there we go.
Unit. The pressure will come at any time. I mean, it could be first and 10 from your own 30-yard line, and here comes zero blitz. So when you break the huddle, Josh Allen, always have a plan for pressure. Every single snap, have a plan for pressure. Number two, where's Dawson Knox? Okay, he's your tight end that you guys love to move around. He's going to give you a ton of information of, is it man or is it zone? What guy is over him to give you coverage? And then number three, find 14. Listen, Humphrey's great. Marcus Peters is great. Jimmy Smith's great. No one's covered him this year in man coverage. Make them cover 14. Make them prove to you that they can cover 14. Because I don't think they can, Key. I don't think over the course of, I don't think anyone in the league right now can cover Stephon Diggs. This is one of those games that you go, you know what? We traded for 14 for this very moment. Because knowing we're going to play teams that want to play some man coverage, if they play 14 in man coverage, he is going to have a field day this weekend.
Listen, it's been one team, all right? Both of you all are wrong. It's been one team.
Huh?
The Los Angeles Rams stopped Stephon Diggs. He had four catches, 49 yards in that game. The problem was Cole Beasley had 100 yards receiving and Gabriel Davis had 81 yards.
Yeah.
And I think that spoke volumes about Josh Allen more than anything, his ability to get away when his number one guy is gone to get away. But this Ravens defense, to me, is the best defense they'll face all year. And it's not because the Ravens defense is better than the Rams. It's because where we are at this juncture in the season. Look, it's one playoff game. It's all about the preparation for the Baltimore Ravens to stop the Buffalo Bills and what they do best. And both of you are right. You stop Stephon Diggs, you have a better chance to win. That game against Buffalo in L.A. ended 35-32, and we all know at the end of the game the pass interference and all of that transpired. But, look, when you think about the Baltimore Ravens defense, because we get enamored, and we should, for rightfully so, for Josh Allen and this offense, for Lamar Jackson and this offense, this Ravens defense gave up 13 points to the Tennessee Titans last week. Everybody just keep that in mind. Josh Allen has been phenomenal. This will be his toughest task so far this season.
Yeah, you know what, guys? I think actually, because you brought this up, the connection between Dawson Knox and Josh Allen, really, really important. In fact, I had a story on that, but we're going to go to the weather first here because this is really important, guys. Game time temperature of 31 degrees, a 56% chance of precipitation, possible snow showers. Listen, Key, you're whistling because you didn't play very well in the snow.
Oh, y'all get ready to set me up with something.
We pumped you up earlier in the show, and now we're going to show what happened.
This was my rookie year, Laura.
Well, I'm sorry, Key.
I'm coming from California.
Key, hold on to the ball.
Ooh, can't win.
Catch the
ball.
Wait,
look, though. I was winning.
Can't win.
But look, I can't
catch.
Ooh,
drops.
I can't. Hey, look.
Let it get across your face, man.
Dan. 9 targets, 1 catch, 10 yards.
How do you know the stats like that?
Number one pick in the draft.
How hard is it?
I was a bum.
How hard is it to play?
They should have cut me, though. In all honesty, I was a bust for that game.
I need these clips.
It was the worst.
All right, it really is hard to feel your hands in the cold and to play
in
snow and all of that,
30,
right?
It was 20, I believe it was like 26 degrees and 11 with wind chill factor. And the balls felt like those red bricks frozen. Oof. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
You're lucky,
man.
I wasn't on NFL Live then. I would have had a field day with that one.
Oh, I do.
It was one game.
Trust me, Tom Jackson and Boomer crushed me, so it didn't matter. Hey, Marcus.
This man knew the stats.
Marcus, of course I know. That was the worst game I had in my career.
Oh,
how could you
Marty.
Not know? Well, I almost said something to you, but.
Oh, come on. All right. Anyway, on that note, I think we are going to move along here. Lamar Jackson has said that he has not played in a snow game before,
no.
So you never know how it factors
it's
in.
Hard, man.
We got time for one more thing, and today we're going to head to Dan Orlovsky's kitchen.
Dang, y'all coming at me.
To the Husky family in the Yukon. Ticket project. My word, this is gonna be brutal. Take forever to get out. Oh. All right. Bleed blue.
Hello?
Oh no.
Oh, that's
safe, oh, damn.
Bro. Oh my gosh.
Trying to burn up your insides,
Dan? It was for charity, Dan. Are you okay?
Look at Marcus's face.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. Listen, I had to go to my neighbor's to get that hot sauce because we don't have any in my house. You guys know that. And I don't have a shot glass, so I had to use one of the the cups from the kids' medicine. So
Marcus, you know how bland all of Dan's food is.
Look at Marcus.
I was just about to say, I need everybody to understand how monumental that was.
It's huge. Now,
I'm surprised he didn't break out in hives and stuff start coming all over his body. All he uses is pepper.
Why do people
he
put that stuff on
He don't even use no
food.
Damn salt. All he uses is pepper. He eats chicken, burgers, and broccoli every night just with pepper, no salt. So I'm surprised that Cholula didn't kill him.
Dan, what's your favorite meal, Dan?
Grilled chicken and maybe some brown rice.
So
chicken cheesy rice. My wife's chicken cheesy
rice.
So you
take the chicken out the package and throw it right on the grill. You don't season it enough.
Simple man.
No seasoning.
I don't understand why people eat hot sauce.
No flavor. key. You like hot sauce, right?
Absolutely. I got about 20 of them in my cabinet.
There you go. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live.